US Vector. Over.
What?
Flight 209er clear for Vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Howard radio clearance, over.
This is Clarence, over.
Over.
Roger.
Roger, over.
Cut.
You're listening to the Airline Pilot Guy. I'm Captain Jeff, your host. Sit back, relax. We'll be starting our flight shortly. Broadcasting live from my hotel room in Gulfport, Mississippi. I'm Captain Jeff, and yes, believe it or not, you are actually listening to the Airline Pilot Guy podcast. I know many of you thought that I had fallen off the radar screen, so to speak, and nope, I'm back, and so glad to be back. Thank you for your patience all these weeks. I know it's been quite some time since I've published a podcast. So, I'm here to resume podcasting on my Airline Pilot Guy. Now, podcasting is kind of like riding a bike, which is kind of like flying an airplane.
Flying a plane is no different than riding a bicycle. Just a lot harder to put baseball cards in the spokes.
I love that. That's a clip from the movie Airplane, one of the greatest movies ever made. Anyway, as I mentioned, I'm here in Gulfport, Mississippi. I've been flying all week. This is the fourth day in a row. I had a three-day, and I'm on a two-day trip now. I'll have 2 days off on the weekend, then back out. I'm going to do the same thing next week. And I really look forward to getting back in my normal routine. Just briefly, I'll let you know that, again, as you know from previous podcasts, my mom and her husband are experiencing some health issues, and so I've had to go out to California a few times to visit and to help my sister out with their care. And also, I'm very heavily involved in Catholic podcasting. I'm on the board of directors for the StarQuest Production Network, which is a worldwide Catholic podcasting network. Every year, we put a conference called the Catholic New Media Conference, and this was our fourth annual this year, and it was in Kansas City. And I basically took a full week going there a few days early to help with the setup of the conference, and then spending a couple days after the end of the conference to help Steve Nelson, our executive director, help him with packing everything up and getting everything taken care of. So, yeah, it's been a busy month or so. Actually, some other things happening as well. I'm not sure if I'm going to go into all those details. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I did want to mention, before we move on with the Airline Pilot Guy podcast, that, you know, many of you know that I started off podcasting doing Catholic Pilot, a podcast that dealt mostly with what we talk about here on the Airline Pilot Guy, but also a little bit more about my personal life and also my faith life, which is, you know, intertwined, obviously. And so I decided I would go ahead and start doing something, a more informal podcast called Catholic Pilot, you know, the original podcast. And I did my first, you know, new version of the Catholic Pilot as a walk cast, I guess you could call it. I was out on a run slash walk and recording some stuff. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you know, more of the personal stuff that's going on with my life and issues of faith, then check that out. And you can find that by going to CatholicPilot.com. And you can also find a link to it on my Airline Pilot Guy podcast homepage, which is AirlinePilotGuy.com. So enough of that. Now, a bunch of stuff to talk about here in the news. And I mean, I had to, what I do is I clip a lot of articles and things that look interesting to me as I'm perusing the web every day. I'm always looking for stuff that you might be interested in hearing about. And there's just no way that I'm going to be able to cover everything I wanted to talk about. So I'm just going to have to cherry pick a little bit. I also have a bunch of feedback, and thank you so much. I mean, as I've said many times, this show is not just about me talking about stuff in the news. I mean, there are a bunch of podcasts out there like that, Some very good ones, by the way. No, this is more about me talking about some of the things in the news, giving you my perspective on it. And it's also about you sending me feedback. And man, did you guys follow through and come through for me. I mean, a bunch of feedback, both email and voice feedback. And so I am so pleased that you took me up on that challenge. And keep it coming, by the way. Keep it coming. And I know many of you think that you know, you haven't seen a podcast from me in a while, and you thought that I was just, you know, as I mentioned in the open, I was falling off the radar screen, and that I've given up on this. But I have not. I'm like the the Everlast bunny. What is it? No, you know, the battery bunny rabbit just keeps on going. And so I'm going to keep on going, and I'm going to expect you to send me more feedback, and I'm going to try to do all the feedback on this show today, to try to get this thing back on track and get all caught up. And if for some reason I don't read your feedback or play your feedback, please know that I read everybody's, and I'm not just choosing the best ones. It may be that I just lost it somehow. I have a whole bunch of I have trouble with organization. Just ask my wife. I mean, she walks into my office and sees my desk full of papers and stacks of things, and then after a while I'll just take a stack and move it and put it in a box somewhere, and then eventually the box probably gets thrown away. So yeah, not very good at organization. But hey, don't worry, if you're flying on my flight, I'm very, very focused on and organized as far as the conduct of the flight. So don't worry about that. It's just the other stuff sometimes I have trouble with. But so if I don't read your feedback, I still appreciate it. And if it's something that you thought, I sent him some feedback and I could have sworn that he would have read mine because mine's more interesting than anybody else's, well, then resubmit it. Send in another piece of feedback because, again, I probably lost it, put it in a folder somewhere. I don't know. You know, it. Who knows what I did with it. But so let's start with this accident you may have heard of. It occurred on September 6th, I believe. It was a Al Nippon Airways Boeing 737-700 series, a Japanese airline flying from Okinawa to Tokyo with 117 people on board. It was en route at flight level 410, about 23 nautical miles south of Hamamatsu, Japan, when the aircraft violently rolled left, causing injuries to two flight attendants, and descended by about 6,000 feet, leveling off at flight level 350. The flight continued to Tokyo's Haneda Airport for a safe landing. The two injured flight attendants were delivered to a hospital with flesh wounds. The airline reported that the captain, he was 64 years old, 16,000 hours of total experience, lots of experience, had taken a toilet break and was about to return to the cockpit, requiring the first officer, 38 years old, 2,400 hours total experience, to open the cockpit door. Problem is, the switch to open the cockpit door is located about 10 centimeters, or about 4 inches, away from the rudder trim switch. By mistake, the first officer operated the rudder trim switch instead of the door opening switch, causing the aircraft to violently roll left and descend by about 6,000 feet before the first officer was able to return the aircraft to stable level flight. The captain subsequently entered the cockpit. Two cabin crew received the minor injuries, flesh wounds. No other injuries occurred, and there was no turbulence in the area at the time of the occurrence. Okay, so what happened here? Yeah, he's moving that switch thinking, why is he not opening the door? I'm pushing the switch. I'm holding it over there probably for several seconds. And what's happening? The autopilot is probably trying to trim or trying to bank to try to, you know, offset this rudder trim that he's putting in. And then basically the autopilot finally said, you know what? I don't have the authority anymore. I'm giving up. And when that happens, when the autopilot lets go and an airplane is way out of trim, violent things happen. And that's what happened in this case. So, wow, what a weird incident. Okay. Gosh, I don't really have, as I mentioned, my organization problems. I'm just going to go in order on my, Evernote, application where I have all my clippings, both web clippings that I've read and also feedback that I've received from you guys. So I'm just going to go up the list. It's just going to be easier for me. Now, this feedback may have come in a different order, and these incidents may be in different order as well, but who cares? We're going to talk about them. This is from, from Jeff Felmuth. You know, he's the guy that wrote in last year about, or a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I guess, about the September 11th, the thing that he sends out to his friends and relatives every year. And in fact, my last podcast, a little over a month ago, was a special on the 10th anniversary of September 11th, the terrorist attacks. And anyway, he sends me feedback now and then, and he sent me this. Captain Jeff, like Acme, my company is pushing more and more for us to use George, and that's a term we use, by the way, for or a nickname that we use for the autopilot. And there's a reason for that. I heard from a I'm going off on one of these tangents, sorry. I heard from a guy said, hey, you know why we call the autopilot George? Not everybody does, by the way, but I do. And I said, no, why? And he said, well, the first, the people that developed the first simulators, I think it was Link was the company. That is what the developers, researchers, scientists, whatever you want to call them, the engineers, nicknamed that original simulator. They called it George. So now we kind of use that term sometimes to refer to the autopilot. And so anyway, let me start back with his feedback. Like Acme, my company is pushing more and more for us to use George instead of actually flying the jet, which is definitely beginning to show itself among our pilot group. I became a pilot to fly, not to let George have all the fun. First Officer Jeff Felmuth. And he's with American Airlines. So, yeah, he's seeing it as well. Okay, got another piece of feedback from, and I've received several actually from this guy, and I do appreciate it, PJ Gustafson. And he is sort of taking me to task, not actually me, but something that I said regarding Continental and their use of simulators and non-motion simulators, and how the United Pilot Group and the Continental Pilot Group have been kind of butting heads about this issue. And well, let's listen to what he has to say.
Hi, Captain Jeff. My name is PJ Gustafson, and I'm a new listener to your new podcast. I'm living in Houston, Texas here. I'm just kind of catching up on the back episodes, and I just listened to episode 4. I'm actually in the middle of it, and you just went on your little rant about the Continental training facility not using full motion simulators. I'm afraid that you're kind of going with half the facts there. I am not a Continental pilot. However, I did tour the Continental training facility and even got to fly one of their full motion 737-800 sims. They use the cockpit procedures trainers boxes, the non-motion simulators for some functions, in addition to the full motion simulators. They do not use them in lieu of the full motion simulators. So there is full motion sim training at Continental, just not for everything. The things that are concentrated on CRM tools and everything like that are done in the CPTs, while the actual flying stuff is done in full motion. So I'm sure someone has corrected that already, but I figured I'd just call in just in case. Anyway, I've enjoyed the show so far. I look forward to catching up on the other episodes, and keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, PJ. Nobody else has said a thing about it. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And hey, getting half of it right is better than getting none of it right, right? You know what? I guess I'm falling into that same trap. I kind of criticize journalists, quote unquote, for not really doing fact checking before they report on things. And I guess I'm guilty of the same thing. I read this article that they talked about this fact that Continental was using these no motion simulators. But you know what? Now it makes a lot of sense. In fact, Acme does the same darn thing. We have a lot of procedural trainers that we use for running through switchology and, you know, going through checklist procedures and that kind of thing. And, you know, that doesn't require full motion. And so it really makes a lot of sense that that's what's happening here. And PJ, thank you again. He followed it up with some email feedback, and he sent me a couple photos, the first of which was a picture of him in a Continental 777 cockpit procedures trainer. And then the second one he sent me is the picture of him in a Boeing 737-800 series that he flew. And he said they use this for the actual flight training. To date, it's the only multi-engine time in my logbook. So, hey, you know, we take it however we can get it, right? So thanks, PJ. And you're going to hear from PJ again, probably one or two more times here in the podcast. He sent me some more feedback, I believe. And if not, hey, send me some more, PJ. Always appreciate it. Okay, let's see. How about this one? And this is one that I really couldn't answer, but I'm hoping that you, my listeners, will help me with this. Hey, Captain Jeff, my name is Kevin Nesdoli. I'm 15 years old and in grade 10 in Ontario, Canada. I was wondering if there are any classes I should take in order to get set up for a job at a major airline as a mechanic. I know basic small and car engines, so where could I get experience in jet engines? Do I need to have higher marks in things like math? Also, what would look good on a resume? Thanks for your time. God bless, Kevin. Hey, thanks for your feedback, Kevin, and I'm glad to see that there are people out there such as you, you know, 15 years old, and interested in an airline career. And because my expertise is not in mechanics, I don't, and you know what, I sent back a reply to Kevin saying that I was going to research that, and honestly have not been doing a lot of flying since I received your feedback, Kevin, and now just reading it, it reminded me that I need to do some research on this and actually ask some of the Acme mechanics that I run into occasionally. And what I would say is that there are, you know, programs that you go through to get experience on aviation mechanics. It's called Airframe and Power Plant Rating, A&P license. Then there are schools set up specifically for that. And yeah, it never hurts to have higher marks and things like math, but I don't know if it's, you know, necessary. But anyway, if you're out there listening to the podcast, you know something about mechanics or, you know, maintenance technician stuff, send in some feedback. Kevin needs your answer. Thanks again, Kevin, for that podcast. For that feedback. I'm the one doing the podcast. And maybe Kevin will do one, too, about aviation maintenance. Okay, here's some more feedback from Steve Lerum, or Lerum. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his, as always, you know, if I mispronounce your name, send me some voice feedback with you pronouncing your own last name. That way we'll get it all straight. Okay. I just found your podcast. Awesome. Thank you. I'm also a C-141 T-37 guy. I now fly 777s for United Airlines. Graduated from the United States Air Force Academy in 1975. Ooh, Azumi. My son is in his third year there and is a member of the Air Force Wings of Blue Parachute Team. Now, come on, Steve. You obviously didn't teach your son very well. Remember, you always have to have the same number of takeoffs as landings. So apparently, he didn't get that message from you. Shame on you. No, that's great. That must be an exciting thing to... You know, I always thought that it would be fun to parachute, to jump out of an airplane. I did some parachute training, some parachute landing training, but never actually jumped out of an airplane and parachuted. I've always thought that that would be fun to do, but now that I'm an old geezer, you know, almost 53 years old, bones are probably way too brittle for that, so probably will never do that. Anyway, back to his feedback. I'm very interested in pilot health issues. In fact, I just got an article published in the ALPA Council 34 issue of the Bayliner magazine. That's the San Francisco base of United. And he sent me a link to the article, which has been picked up as a guest blog by a couple of health-related websites. I'll put that link in the show notes. Hopefully I won't forget. If I do, please somebody tell me and remind me to put that in there. Let's see, I'm planning to launch a health and general interest blog and maybe a podcast under the umbrella jetlagchronicles.com. I would love to pick your brains on technical matters such as what software, hosting, recording technology you use. Any ideas would be welcomed. And I read his article. Great article, Steve. Awesome. Talking about water, hydration, that kind of thing, which is very important, especially for the environment in which we work. And so, again, thanks, Steve, for that feedback. I will include the link to your fantastic article in the show notes. And, yeah, anytime you know, in the future you want to talk to me about podcasting, I'd love to talk about it because it's one of those things that I enjoy talking about. Okay. Oh, you remember Rui Silva, or Silva, from Portugal, I believe. Friend of mine there. I say friend. I've never met him, but he sent me some feedback here and there, and he sent me some more. And, you know, I was talking about weather applications, both on desktop and also smartphones and, you know, tab, iPad-type devices and such. And, you know, he sent me that great website called, Meteo Total, by some guy in either South America or Madrid. We're not sure which, but it doesn't matter. It's an awesome source for accessing via desktop computer. But he also included this link, and it's, again, I'll have that in the show notes, but it's http://touch.iaviation, that's iaviation.info. And it, basically it's a web app. It's a website that's tailored for a smartphone format, and it's another way to look up some weather information. So appreciate that, Rui. And again, anybody out there have some suggestions for me, for us, as far as getting our weather information, send it in. Let's see. More feedback. Jordan Leslie sent me this. Hi, Captain Jeff. Just listened to the Cockpit Crisis podcast and have now subscribed. Thank you. I checked out the weather sites you mentioned, and they are really great. I'll have to bookmark them. I'll have to take some time and listen to your previous podcast, too. I've recently started my own blog and have been publishing some articles on airplane performance. So far, I've done an article on power and torque, one on stalls, emergency procedures, and a few other miscellaneous ones. I plan on writing the next one on thrust and climb performance with respect to excess power and excess thrust, following the same format that I used in my power and torque article. I've attached the article, and I'd be interested in what you think of it. My blog link is in my signature. Again, I'll include that in the show notes. So if you're interested in reading Jordan's blog post about aerodynamics and other principles, you'll love this. So he said, I just read the McLean's article, Cockpit Crisis, the day it came out, coincidentally. I had just written the article on stalls, so I added in the link to the McLean's article. As a flight instructor, I really feel like the basic training that's being provided is subpar here. I work at a flight school in Manitoba, Canada. I'm a big proponent of teaching basic aerodynamics to a level that will provide the student with a good working knowledge of how the aircraft's performance changes during a variety of situations. At the school I'm at, I see a huge lack in effective teaching. A few examples. One instructor openly hates teaching ground and will hardly do any ground instruction with his students. He's probably one of the laziest and unintelligent instructors I've met. Ooh, I hope he's not listening to this podcast. Another instructor, well, you know, if he's lazy, he's not going to listen to a podcast. Another instructor who happens to be a class one, he can teach instructor candidates, told me that I should teach the forces in a turn incorrectly and justified his position with, quote, because it's easier to understand. There are less forces in the diagram correctly depicting the forces in a turn, which I would argue actually makes it simpler, and it's also correct. I also got into a discussion with him about slipping, in which he, and I'm not talking about my brain, slipping in an airplane, in which he was completely wrong. The lack of knowledge of a Class 1 instructor on a basic maneuver like slipping is pretty bad, in my opinion. He also just got qualified as a designated flight test examiner. Another example just happened a few days ago. One instructor was teaching the basics of airplane performance, max liftover drag ratio, range, endurance, etc., to new students, and I was sitting in on the class. One of the slides said that the max L over D ratio is at the max endurance speed. For a jet, that's correct, but in the case of a Cessna 152, it would be at max range. I pointed that out to the instructor after the lesson, and he laughed and said that he knew it was like that and kind of brushed the subject off. He made no mention of the error to the class. So much for the teaching principle of primacy, teaching it correctly the first time. And he goes on a little bit more, saying, you know, if he finds aerodynamics is like a religion to people. They really don't know much about it, and so they have to put so much belief in it into the way they were taught the wing flies. When you bring up a point that goes against their belief, they get quite defensive. Seen it many times. Anyway, thank you so much for the feedback, Jordan, and again, for your link to your article, which I'll include in the show notes. And please continue to listen and send me feedback. I always appreciate it. Let's see. I have some audio feedback, which is, of course, my favorite. I hate to play favorites, guys, but and girls. Send me. I'd love to hear your voice. It's much more interesting than hearing me read your emails. And this is from Chris in Fullerton.
Hi, Captain Jeff. My name is Chris. I fly out of Orange County, California, as a private pilot, actually Fullerton. And you, on your podcast number 10, were asking about weather information services. And I prefer WeatherMeister. It works for me. It gives me a nice little area briefing and outlook as well. May not work for you, but worth checking out. Also like the new format of the show, like your bumper music as well. And keep up the great work. I'm a Catholic and love your insights there as well as flying. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hey, you bet, Chris. And remember, as I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, that if you want to hear more about the Catholic, you know, my Christian faith and personal life, tune in to Catholic Pilot. Again, oh, also, I should mention that if you are a subscriber to my Catholic Pilot feed, you get everything. You get this podcast, Airline Pilot Guy, and also my Catholic Pilot stuff. So check it out. And by the way, also, I was just out in, you know, my parents, my mom lives out in the Orange County area in Los Alamitos, Rossmore. And Ernie, her husband, is in a hospital right now in Westminster. And he was up in Fullerton at some kind of a facility as well. So I know exactly where you are, and it's a beautiful place to live. Thanks again, Chris, for your feedback. Boy, I tell you what, I'm not even making a dent in all this stuff, and it's already about 25 minutes or more into the podcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to trudge on here and do as much as I can without going incredibly long, and then I'm just going to cut it off, and then I'll just have to do another one next week. And maybe finally I'll be able to catch up on all this stuff. So here we go. Here's one from Dean Pereira. Again, not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Hi, Jeff. Just wanted to let you know that your podcasts are great. Thank you very much. I've recently started listening to them on the commute to work, and your attitude in and outside the cockpit is an inspiration. Apparently, he really doesn't know me. I have a private pilot's license, and although I don't fly the big iron as you do, I am big on professionalism and respect, and those are the values you most convey on your podcast. Hey, thanks. Crew resource management is also an area that I'm interested in, as I, too, am the captain in charge of a team that recover telecommunication network outages, some of which are often on major news outlets like CNN. Very cool. Yeah, a lot of this stuff can be applied to other industries, that's for sure. Okay, back to Dean's comment. Working in technology, I also share your views on the impact of automation in our lives. I'm all for automation as it has improved pretty much everything in our lives, but nothing replaces the stick and rudder. And as you mentioned on the Air France 447 podcasts, automation is not foolproof, and you need to stay current, doing things manually, so that you know what to do when stuff breaks. And Murphy is always around to make sure that that happens. So keep up the great work. Looking forward to listening to the rest of the podcasts. Regards, Dean. Thanks, Dean. I appreciate your comments. And send me some more feedback, and hopefully you enjoyed the other episodes. Let's see. Hey, you may have seen this. I clipped this. I thought this was of interest. It's not very technical. This is more the travel aspect of my job, flying. Let's see. It is an early look at the flight search feature at Google. And this was last month, so maybe it's not so new anymore, and they may have actually improved what they have in there. But I guess it's another way to do some searching. If you're going to fly from, let's say, Denver to Chicago, you can put in those two, you know, they arrival destination and departure airports. And then it kind of gives you a rundown of various options and pricing, et cetera. There are a bunch of other websites out there that do that as well, but it's always cool to see, you know, what Google does with something. A lot of times they improve upon it, but we'll see. If you have any experience with that, let me know, and I'd like to hear what you think. Excuse me. I had some Mexican food with my co-pilot across the way here in Gulfport, and it's starting to talk back. It was good, though. Okay, this I clipped for some stupid reason, and I don't think it's interesting, so I'm not going to talk about it. And let's see, air travel is still a bargain. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah, look at inflation over the years, and you compare how much it was to fly, let's say 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and compare it with today and the consumer price index and inflation. Yeah, it's still, it's a lot better deal to fly now than it used to be. But, you know, as I mentioned before, air travel seems to be one of those commodities that is very price sensitive, so it hasn't kept pace with other items, like large ticket items like buying cars and airplanes and stuff like that. Those things have skyrocketed if you compare the prices now with prices back 20, 30 years ago. But let's not beat a dead horse, shall we? I thought this was kind of interesting. I meant to open up this link here. Let me do that. There's a company that is actually making seat belts that have airbags inside of them. That's kind of weird. Seats that in the seat backs have airbags. And I think it's mostly for some of those areas that are kind of difficult to protect effectively, like if you're sitting at a bulkhead, and so you're looking at that hard board or hard surface in front of you. And if you're in a crash, guess what? It's not going to be pretty when your head hits that darn thing. So, I thought this was a different article, but it is the same article. This company is making seatbelts and shoulder harness kind of devices that have airbags inside of them to protect passengers. And I believe this has something to do with the Federal Aviation Administration requirement. That is as of October 2009, all seats on new airplanes, must be 16G seats able to withstand stresses and impacts of up to 16 times the force of gravity. Previously, the requirement was only 9Gs. And so I guess they're doing what they can to provide that kind of protection for all the seats in the airplane. It's not cheap, though. The added protection offered is about $2,000 per seatbelt airbag. Woo, that's expensive versus the $50 for a traditional seatbelt. So, thought that was kind of interesting. And let me close this tab here because it's starting to make my machine's fan get loud. Sorry about that. You probably hear that in the background. Let me change the orientation of the microphone a little bit. Maybe you won't pick up very much of that. Okay, let's see. One more thing from PJ Gustafson. He said, "Hey, Captain Jeff, this is in response to your listener from Portugal who was asking about the realism of Microsoft Flight Sim. I was an avid Flight Sim user before, during, and after my training to get my private pilot's license, and I still enjoy getting on Flight Sim today. Here's my take on Flight Sim as compared to a real airplane." And I really appreciate this, PJ, because, again, as I mentioned before, I don't have any experience at all with the Flight Sim programs for PCs. So it's good that I'm getting this from somebody who has experience with it. Okay, number one, he says, it gives you a good idea of how an airplane is controlled. You know, push forward and the houses get bigger, pull backwards and the houses get smaller, etc. However, you obviously cannot get a good feel for how an airplane behaves. The force required to manipulate the controls, such as the heavy elevator on a Cessna 182, and the actual sensations you get from turbulence, G-forces, etc. Number two, Flight Sim gives you a great representation for how the various instruments behave and interact with each other, and pretty accurately stimulates instrument failures, as in a failed vacuum pump or an iced over pitot tube. If you're seeking an instrument rating, and as I hope to in the not-too-distant future, Microsoft Flight Sim is a great way to learn and practice your instrument scan. To that same end, VOR receivers and the ADF in the simulator work much the same as they do in real life. So you can practice instrument navigation in the sim with great realism. I've found that the needles in the sim are actually a bit more accurate than the ones in a real plane. In the older Cessna 172 models that I fly, the needles tend to jiggle quite a bit in turbulence. Number three, if you get a quality payware added on airplane for the sim, the button locations and their functionality is very closely modeled to what they do in the real airplane. The default MS Flight Sim aircraft have been significantly dumbed down so that novices who just buy the software off the shelf and have no aviation experience can successfully fly them and not get discouraged away from the program. I have the Cessna 172N from Coronado, I believe, as well as the PMDG 737 NGX for Flight Simulator X. The 172 is very accurate as compared to the ones that I've flown. Also, I've been fortunate enough to get half an hour logged in that Boeing 737-800 full motion simulator at Continental's training facility, and I was able to successfully program the FMS and operate the buttons and switches that I needed, including switching the auto throttles off on downwind, which surprised the instructor, especially when I successfully flew base, then final, and made a pretty decent landing on runway 28 left at San Francisco, all in full manual mode. Woohoo! Way to go, PJ. We need more guys like you. I then executed a successful V1 cut on takeoff, followed by an ILS approach to minimums and landing, which I was able to execute based on my experience in MS Flight Sim, as I'm not instrument rated, and I have not done more than the required amount of simulated instrument time to get my private pilot license in the Cessna. The touchdown was a little firm, but they would still be able to use the airplane again without need for repairs. By the way, as many of the professional pilots out there listening to the podcast can vouch, simulators don't really land very much like the real airplane. I mean, it's really hard to... Let me put it this way. If you can land a simulator well, chances are you probably can't land the airplane very well. Now, I know that's a general statement there, but I never get too concerned about that. I mean, if I get a good landing in the simulator, then I go, oh, that was a good landing. Interesting. But I don't get too concerned if I prang it on. You know, the main concern for the instructors in the simulator is if you are in the touchdown zone on speed and reasonably within, you know, a few feet of the center line. I digress. Okay, he says, number four, the geography and terrain database and Flight Sim seem to be spot on, at least as of the time that most recent version of Flight Sim came out. Airports, buildings, nav aids, roads, railroad tracks, bodies of water, and other terrain features seem to be exactly in the sim as they are in real life. You can actually pretty successfully navigate in the sim via pilotage and dead reckoning. Even the airport layouts and designs are pretty true to life, with some exceptions. The tower at Sugar Land is on the wrong side of the airport, and runway 12 right at Hobby does not fully connect to Taxiway Golf, but those things are pretty minor. Even the radio frequencies used for the nav aids, VORs, NDBs, and precision approach fixes are true to life. And five, the in-game ATC system leaves quite a bit to be desired. The phraseology is okay to learn the basics, but it only scratches the surface of what you can do with ATC in the real world. That being said, once you learn the basic phraseology, I would recommend you get a headset for your computer and jump online to vatsim.net and fly there. That's how I learned to talk to ATC on the radio, as they follow real-world radio and ATC procedures. It's great practice. One of my biggest pet peeves is that SIDs and STARs are not supported in the system. You can't even select them in the in-game flight planner. I typically go to simroutes.com. I find the route that I want, then save it to my computer to load up in Flight Simulator X. If you do that, the waypoints are typically supported for your flight plan, which would be fine, except that as you approach an airport, the in-game ATC starts issuing you vectors from about 100 nautical miles away from your destination airport, sending you all over the sky instead of just allowing you to follow the published procedure. Okay, so he ends, anyway, I've gone long enough. To summarize, MS Flight Sim is a great tool to learn the basics and theory behind flying. But your listener is correct that it is no substitute for real flight training. While a simmer could theoretically manipulate the controls to successfully land an airplane if the pilots have the fish, they will likely not be able to operate the aircraft systems or automation unless they regularly use and are familiar with one of the add-on planes you can get for that specific aircraft type. Again, great job on the podcast. I'm all caught up now and have enjoyed each episode. Take care and God bless. PJ Gustafson. Easy for me to say, not. Private pilot in Houston, Texas. Aha, no wonder you have access to the Continental simulators. Yeah, thanks again, PJ. Coming through for me, man. Appreciate that. And continue to send it in. And now I have a new podcast for you to listen to. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to cut it off. I've gone long enough. Hopefully I'll remember where I left off and I don't repeat myself in the next podcast, which is going to be next week. And I have much more to talk about, more feedback, and more articles that I think you might be interested in. Remember, you too, along with Rui and Steve and Kevin and PJ and Jeff and everybody else that I read here today, you can send in your feedback just as they did to feedback@airlinepilotguy.com, or better yet, send your feedback to my voice feedback line, 304-99-PILOT. That's 304-997-4568. And also, I'll put a little widget on the right column of both CatholicPilot.com and AirlinePilotGuy.com websites. And if you click the thing that says call me, big telephone looking thing, that's the Google Voice feedback line that I have. You don't have to spend a dime if you're going to call from your home phone or you don't want to spend any money calling the feedback line. Just click on that thing. It'll actually call your telephone number immediately. You'll pick it up and it'll start connecting to my voice feedback line. And then you can leave me some awesome voice feedback. Let's see. On Facebook, I'm Captain Jeff. That's facebook.com/CAPTJEFF or CAPT.Jeff. Either one will work. Let's see. I've been trying to do a little bit more on Facebook than anything else. I have several things going on out there, but that's just getting too complicated for me. And I know a lot of you don't like to see, double posts, both from Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. And don't want to turn anybody off with that stuff. So I've been trying to focus primarily on Facebook. But I'm on Google Plus. I'm Jeff P. Nielsen, JeffPNielsen on Google Plus. Captain Jeff on Facebook, and also if you want to follow me on Twitter, Airline Pilot Guy. And again, the website, airlinepilotguy.com. So much. Oh, yeah, and yet one other way. You may have heard of this new, it's not new, an application or a service called Stitcher. The Airline Pilot Guy is now on Stitcher. Listen to me on your iPhone, your Android phone, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And got a little graphic there on my website. You can click on that if you want, or just go to Stitcher.com, search for Airline Pilot Guy, and you can listen to me that way if you'd like. And as always, until we meet again, wishing you blue skies, unlimited visibility, and tailwinds, unless you're landing. Take care, and God bless.
You're not a pilot.
Leave it alone.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Tom, you're just telling everybody yourself. Why is it so important these people believe you're a pilot?
It's not important.
Then why did you go to all that effort to make it up?
Didn't take any effort.